Please turn again to Acts chapter 18. We want to read the first three verses again together. For a few moments today, I want to draw your attention to Aquila and Priscilla. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by occupation they were tent makers. During Paul's missionary journeys, we are introduced to many interesting characters that he met along the way. These individuals were used by God to encourage God's servant, the Apostle Paul, in the work of the Lord. Among the many that we read of, there was none that helped the Apostle more than the two people that we read of at the beginning of Acts chapter 18, Aquila and Priscilla. And of course, they were husband and wife. When Paul was on his second missionary journey, he left Athens, he came to the city of Corinth. He found himself very much alone. Corinth was a place that was very wicked and ungodly, and that was opposed in the main to the gospel of Christ. But when Paul arrived in this godless city, he was greatly blessed through the encouragement of Aquila and Priscilla. You know, child of God, the Apostle Paul could not have accomplished what he did accomplish for God if it not been for the help that he received from the Aquilas and Priscillas in the church. I think it's very important that we always remember that. When we read church history, we are inclined to elevate men like John Knox, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and many others. And there's no doubt that these men were used of God. But always remember this, that these great men could not have accomplished anything had it not been for the Aquilas and Priscillas who helped them by the way and encouraged them in the work of God. You see, the preacher, the minister, the missionary, the full-time Christian worker always needs the help of others. They always need the encouragement of others. And if that encouragement is not there, then the preacher's work is 10 times harder. And the Apostle Paul could not have accomplished what he did accomplish for God without the help of others. And we should never forget that. We should never forget that. For a few moments this afternoon, I want to draw your attention very simply to these two individuals, Aquila and Priscilla. And I want us to take a look at what we learn about them here in this portion of Scripture. And I pray that the Lord will write His word upon all of our hearts. First of all, I want you to notice their home and occupation. Look what it says there in verses 1 and 2. It says this, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome." Aquila and his wife Priscilla lived in the city of Corinth. And of course, as we have said already, Corinth was a very wicked and ungodly place. But they were not originally from Corinth, as verse 2 indicates. They moved to Corinth after they were persecuted in the city of Rome. Verse 2 tells us that they were forced out of the country of Italy under the persecution of Claudius Caesar. Now, it's important that you and I learn these simple facts, because the Word of God sets them forth here very clearly for us to learn. Therefore, Aquila and Priscilla were two Christians that had suffered for their faith at the hands of wicked men. They were forced to leave their home and forced to leave their country because of their love for the God of heaven. I personally believe that Aquila and Priscilla were saved before they came to Corinth. There's no doubt that their home was now in the city of Corinth, and it was a home where the Lord was honored and where the Lord was worshipped continually. And we'll say more about that just in a moment. But very simply, this text of Scripture reveals unto us that this man and wife, they were living in an ungodly city, and they had come to this ungodly city because of the persecution in their homeland. Verse 3 tells us that they were tent makers by occupation. At the end of verse 3, underline the words, by their occupation they were tent makers. Now again, this is a very simple fact, but again, it's important that we learn these simple facts. That's what they spent their days doing, making tents. As we continue this message, we're going to learn how Aquila and Priscilla were used of God in his service. But I want you to note that they were used in the service of God as they worked in the secular field of tent making. Now, it seems a very simple point, but it teaches us a very important truth, child of God. You don't have to be in full-time service in order to serve the Lord. In other words, you don't have to be a minister of the gospel, a missionary, a full-time evangelist, a full-time children's worker, in order to serve the Lord. You can serve the Lord and witness for Christ as you work in secular employment, in the office, in the factory, on the farm, in the shop, wherever you work day by day. The Christian should seek to live and witness and serve the Lord even in their place of employment from week to week. And that's very important. Here we have the example set before us here of Aquila and Priscilla. They weren't full-time Christian workers. They weren't missionaries. They weren't ministers of the gospel. They weren't in the work of God full-time. The Bible tells us here that they lived in Corinth, this wicked city, and they were tent makers. But as they made their tents day by day, they lived for the Lord, and they served the Lord with all their hearts and with all their souls and with all their minds. And others knew that they loved the Lord, and others knew that they were Christians, that they were born again of the Spirit of God. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Child of God, you may not feel called into full-time service. I do pray that there will be those in our congregation who will be called into full-time service. And I pray even among our young people that the Lord will set his hand upon them and that they will know the call of God to go and be a missionary, to go and be a minister of the gospel, to go into full-time service. But the truth is this, that the majority of God's people are in secular employment. But even in the place of secular employment, wherever we work, we can shine out for Christ and we can serve the Lord to the best of our ability. And I would encourage you to do that. I would encourage you to do that. And here at the beginning of Acts chapter 18, it's a very simple point. But nevertheless, it can be seen here very clearly. Here were a husband and wife who loved the Lord. They had been forced away from Rome, out of the country of Italy because of persecution. They had come to Corinth, a wicked and ungodly place. They had set up their business, tent making. And as they sought to work from day to day, making their tents, they were a witness for Christ. Child of God, you can be a witness for Christ on your farm, in the office, wherever the Lord has placed you. And I pray that as we all seek to serve the Lord, wherever the Lord has placed us, that we will shine out, that others will know that we've been to Jesus for the cleansing power, that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a lovely hymn, and you know it well. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding, yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. And the truth is this, dear child of God, You can reach people on that farm and in that office and in that shop where you work. You can reach people that I'll never be able to reach. You will come into contact with people that I will never come into contact with. And that's why it is so important for us all, even in our own homes, even for housewives, day by day as they seek to live in their own homes, those that they come into contact with can speak a word for the Master. I have no doubt that Aquila and Priscilla spoke a word for the Master. Those that would come to buy the tents, those that would come into their place of employment for business, I have no doubt that they took the time to speak a word for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see here very simply their home and occupation. But notice something else here. Notice their care and support of the Apostle Paul. Now, we've already mentioned this, but I want you to underline it. Look what it says in verse 2. And Paul found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. He came unto them. But look at verse 3, underline this. And because he was of the same craft, that was Paul, was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. When the Apostle Paul, on the second missionary journey, came to Corinth, Aquila and Priscilla did three things for him. They did three things for him. First of all, they give Paul a home to live in. They invited Paul into their own home. And for the time the apostle was in Corinth, he lived with Aquila and Priscilla. Not only did they give Paul a home to live in, but they give Paul a job to support himself. That's what we have there in verse 3. You see, Paul was a tent maker by trade. But the reason why Paul made tents at Corinth at this time was because there was no church at Corinth to support the apostle financially. The churches at Jerusalem and Antioch should have assumed that responsibility, I believe. But for some reason or another, they did not. And Paul refused to ask them for help. And here we have this couple, this man and wife, who had this business in Corinth, and as soon as the missionary came to their city to preach the gospel, they recognized that Paul had a need. There was no one supporting him, and they should have been supporting him. The churches were letting him down, I believe. But they brought him in to their own home. They looked after him. They fed him. They gave him a roof over his head, and they gave him a job. And they brought him into the business for a time so that he could support himself. You know, we can see the willingness of Paul. In order to continue in the work of God, he was prepared to work part-time to support himself. Therefore, it should never be beneath the servant of God to work in secular employment to support himself financially, if needs be. If needs be. Many of our ministers in America, in the Free Presbyterian Church in America, their churches are small. And financially, they can't support a full-time minister. They can't afford to pay a full-time minister. And there's many of our ministers in America, and they preach in the Lord's Day, and they visit a few days a week, and at least two or three days of the week as well, they go out to support themselves. They've got a job as well. Let's pray for those men. They have sacrificed much for the cause of Christ and to be in the work of the Lord. And that's how Paul found himself here. The situation he found himself in when he went to Corinth. But you know, you'll notice here that they did something else for the Apostle Paul. Not only did they give him a home to live in and give him a job to support himself in, but you'll notice that they risked their lives for the Apostle Paul. Now, keep your hand in Acts chapter 18 and turn over just for a moment to Romans chapter 16. And underline verse 3 and 4, and you'll read these words in Romans chapter 16. It says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ." Isn't that a wonderful statement? The Apostle Paul, he didn't forget Aquila and Priscilla. He didn't forget them. And he recognized that they had helped him in the past. And he's thinking back, I believe, to that time when he was in Corinth on his second missionary journeys. And they helped him. But look what it says in verse 4. "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." Such was their love for the servant of God that Aquila and Priscilla were willing to put their own lives at risk in order to see the work of God advanced. There's no doubt that it was a dangerous thing to associate with the Apostle Paul. And we have found out in the course of our studies, and we'll find out as we continue these studies, that there were many who rejected the message of the gospel that Paul preached, and they were hostile to him. There are many times he was put out of cities, thrown out of places. Many times he was stoned for the cause of Christ. On several occasions he was left for dead. So it was a very dangerous thing to associate yourself with the Apostle Paul. And yet here we have Aquila and Priscilla. And such was their love for Christ. So much did they want to support God's servant and the missionary that had come to their wicked city that they were willing to risk their own lives so that the gospel could go forth. And of course, because of what they did for Paul when he came to the city of Corinth, the gospel did go forth, and the work of God was advanced. And although there were many who rejected the message that Paul preached, there were, as we have found out already, there were many who believed and were gloriously saved for time and for eternity. Child of God, the work of God is not always easy. The work of God is not always easy, but thank God it's always rewarding. And that's why it is so important for us to support the servants of God, to pray for them, and to encourage them whatever way we can. You can see here the importance of these two individuals. We uplift Paul, and we exalt him for what he has done and accomplished for Christ, and we can see here the way that the Lord is using him in this way. But never forget, he could not have been used in this way if it had not been for the Aquilas and Priscillas that helped him, by the way. And there were many of them. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, there were those that helped him and supported him in the work of God. But notice something else here. Not only their home and occupation, not only their care and support of the Apostle Paul, but I want you to notice, thirdly, their love and zeal for the work of God. Now, this can be seen in two ways. First of all, when the work commenced in Ephesus, the church met in their home. The church met in their home. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and look with me at verse 19. And you'll read these words at the end. It says, "Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church which is in their house." Underline that. Such was their love for the work of God that they opened up their home so that the people of God could meet together for public worship. Now, you know, I'm sure, and are aware that in the early days of the church, they hadn't fine buildings like we have today that we can come and meet in. They met in people's homes. And Aquila and Priscilla opened up their home so that the people of God could come and meet together on the Lord's day to worship the Lord. And of course, by doing this, they again put their own lives at risk. As we have already pointed out, there was much persecution in the early church. But Priscilla and Aquila, as we have noticed already, loved the work of God more than even their own lives. And they were willing, week by week, month by month, year by year, to open up the doors of their own home so that God's people could come and worship the Lord. Notice something else. They helped a young man to come to a better understanding of the faith. Turn over again to Acts chapter 18 and look there with me at verses 24 to 26. We have an interesting story here. We read about a young man called Apollos. And it says in verse 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom," now underline these words, these are the words I want you to underline, "whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him," that was unto Apollos, "the way of God more perfectly." See the love and the zeal that they had for the work of God? We're not talking about full-time missionaries here. We're not talking about the minister of the church. We're not talking about the evangelist. We're not talking about the children's worker, the full-time worker in God's work. We're talking about a husband and wife. And it's important that you keep that in your mind while you're studying this portion of Scripture and reading about these. These were just two ordinary people in the church. Two ordinary Christians who loved the Lord and wanted to see the work of God advanced in their local congregation. You know, sometimes some of God's people think that the work of the church is the minister's job. Well, it is the minister's job, but it's your job as well. Not just the minister's job to see the work of God advanced. And here we have Aquila and Priscilla, and they seek to encourage this young man, Apollos, in a better understanding of the gospel. And they take him aside after hearing him, and they expound unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, let me ask you a question. Could you expound the word of God more perfectly to someone? Could you? Aquila and Priscilla were two ordinary members of the congregation. Or if you came across someone like Apollos, would you have to send for the minister in order for the minister to expound unto him the way of the Lord more perfectly? Would you need to send for the missionary? Would you need to send for the full-time Christian worker? Or could you do it yourself? Oh, my friend, you need to be able to do it yourself. For the minister mightn't always be available. He just mightn't be at the end of the phone when you need him. And that's why it's so important that you and I as Christians know the Word of God ourselves. And there's no doubt that Aquila and Priscilla, this husband and wife team, they knew the scriptures. They knew how to point someone to Christ. They knew how to explain to them the way of the Lord more perfectly. And what that simply means is pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Child of God, we should always seek to help those who are young in the faith. That's the lesson I believe we learn here. We should always have a desire to expound unto the younger Christian the way of God more perfectly. The truth is, we need to help one another in the faith as we make our journey to heaven. You'll notice also here in verse 26 that Aquila and Priscilla, they took this young man into their home, like they had taken Paul into their home. Look what it says, underline the words. They took him unto them. In other words, they brought Apollos into their own home. Therefore, not only did they expound the scriptures to him, but they gave him a roof. They gave him a home to live in. And such was their love for the work of God and the people of God. Such was their desire to see the work of God advanced. And of course, this is practical Christianity, helping fellow Christians in need. Oh, child of God, there's a challenge here for you and I. How far does our Christianity extend? Does it extend to showing hospitality to those in need? Romans 12, just turn over to it, because it's important that you see what the Apostle Paul says here as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And remember this, he's writing to God's people. He's writing to the Church of Christ. And this is what he says in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, but rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. You see that? Given to hospitality. It certainly could be said of Aquila and Priscilla that they were given to hospitality. And they did it for the furtherance of the gospel. They did it for the missionary. When Paul came, he had nowhere to stay. Come into our house, they said. The Church of Christ had nowhere to worship. Well, I'll tell you what you do. Come into our home. We'll open up our home. And you can meet here every Lord's Day and preach the gospel. And then when this young man, Apollos, appeared with a certain knowledge of the scriptures, he had nowhere to stay. And they said, right, come on in. You can stay with us. Turn over to Titus 1 for a moment. This is one of the qualifications of a bishop. And of course, a bishop is an elder in the church. An elder and bishop, they're just interchangeable names for the elder of the church. And look what it says here about the elders. Titus 1 verse 7, for a bishop or an elder must be blameless. Titus 1 verse 7, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality. There's it again. A lover of hospitality. Lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now you can see here how Aquila and Priscilla served the Lord, their love and zeal for the work of God. They opened up their home so that the services could take place week by week. They sought to help young Christians in the Lord and encourage them, to strengthen them in their faith. Something else I want you to notice about this couple. They were, I've emphasized it in the course of the message, but I want really to emphasize it as we come to close, because it's so important. They were a good husband and wife team. Now, I don't want you to miss that. They worked well together as husband and wife. They served the Lord well together as husband and wife. They worshiped the Lord together as husband and wife. Priscilla was a good helpmate for her husband. Just think for a moment of all the work that Priscilla had to do in order to get her home ready every Lord's Day so that the church could meet in her house. The church met in her home every week, as we have pointed out. And you know, she didn't complain about it. She did it willingly because of her love for the Lord. Let me ask Christian husbands and wives here today, do you help each other in the work of God? Christian wives, are you an encouragement to your husbands in God's work? Or are you a hindrance? And vice versa. Priscilla was an encouragement to her husband and a help to him in the work of God. As far as Priscilla was concerned, God's work came first before anything else. And that's what we see here. That's what we learn here from this couple. Not only from Priscilla, the wife, but from Aquila as well. Their lives were so dedicated to the work of God and to the church of Christ that God's work always came first. And you know, child of God, that's the way it ought to be in our homes and in our families. God's work must come first. I fear that in some of our lives, God's work comes last. If we have nothing else to do, well, we'll get to the prayer meeting. If we have nowhere else to go, well, we'll get to church on a Sunday night. But this was not the attitude of Priscilla and Aquila. With them, God's work always got first priority. Here's the question. Here's the challenge. Does the work in Bethel come first in your life? Because remember this, that's the work that God has called you and I to. There's many places I could be on a Tuesday night. You say, but Mr. Gray, you're getting paid for it. How often I've heard that. My friend, I wasn't always a minister. I wasn't always a minister, and I wasn't always getting paid for it. Long before God ever called me into the ministry, I was found in the place of prayer on a Wednesday night in Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. And even if I wasn't getting paid for it, I'd be here on a Tuesday night. There's many places we all could be. But God has called us to serve Him. God has called us into His work so that we might see His work advanced and go forward. Oh, may God in these days make us Aquilas and Priscillas. May God in these days make us those who have a burden for the work of God and for the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have only one life. It'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. The preacher, the minister needs helpers. He can't do the work himself. He needs the support of God's people. The children's worker needs the support of God's people. The elders need the support of God's people. The evangelist needs the support of God's people. And although they are in the front line of the battle, as it were, they can't go forward in the battle without those Aquilas and Priscillas behind them, praying for them and encouraging them and supporting them and helping them. Oh, I pray today that we'll all make up our minds to be an Aquila and a Priscilla. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 6. And with this I'm finished because my time's gone. Look at Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. We read down this passage of scripture. Here we have the words of Christ, the Son of God, speaking to His people. And this is what He says. He says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" Now, child of God, we all need to live, and we all need to work in order to live. And even Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers, as we have already found out. But that was only secondary to their love
for the work of God, it was only secondary.
Whatever we work at, it's only secondary to God's work. Our business is only secondary. It should be only secondary to God's work. Our farms should only be secondary to God's work. But many of God's people today put their farms first. And they put their business first. And they put their work first. And they're never found in the house of God and in the prayer meeting. But you see, here's the Lord, and he gets the balance right. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye have little faith. Oh, but Mr. Gray, you don't understand. I have so much to do. I can't be here on a Tuesday night. I have just too much to do. There's other me. I just can't go and help out in that, for I have just too much to do. Therefore, take no thought, saying, verse 31, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or withal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But underline verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what Aquila and Priscilla did. They sought first the kingdom of God. They put God first in everything in their lives. God blessed them. And God gave them everything they needed. And more besides, I'm sure. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the challenge of thy word again and for the encouragement of it. And oh God, we thank thee for the Aquilas and Priscillas in the church of Jesus Christ even today. We thank thee for them, Lord, for the work of God would not go on without them. It couldn't go on without them. No matter about the minister, the work of God could not go on without them. But Lord, our prayer is that you'll raise up more Aquilas and Priscillas. And oh God, help us all to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, bless thy word to our souls, we pray thee. And help us not to forget it as we leave God's house today. Burn it within our hearts and into our souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing two verses of a closing hymn, 518. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. We'll sing verse 1 and verse 3, standing to sing. 518.